You know, I should have started our prayer today with thanksgiving to God for breath to pray. Amen. I'm thankful for what God has done. Thankful for what God is doing. Did you know that today, this is September the 19th, 2021. And did you know that today represents the fulfillment of the greatest promise that God ever made? Did you know that? Does anybody know what today is? Thank you. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Friends, did you realize that Sunday is the fulfillment of the greatest promise that God ever made and that Christ Jesus fulfilled for us? The resurrection of the living Lord. Now, I know we usually talk about this on Easter, but why would we wait till Easter again to remind one another that this is the day that God has made and that this day represents the resurrection of Christ Jesus? Amen? Folks, we need to remember that that's why we worship on Sunday. Not on Saturday. Now, every Saturday should remind us, and every Sunday should remind us and find us, if you will, giving praise and thanksgiving to God for what He did, for what He's done, and for what He's doing. Our Lord was faithful to His Word. He was faithful then, and He will be to the end. Now, I'm going to tell you that the sermon has been preached already. Through the songs that we sang, so some of you are going, okay, Pastor, let's just dismiss. Well, let me tell you, I'm going to remind you of some things, so I hope that your heart gets revved up and excited. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 through 13 reminds us of this, that God is faithful even when you are not. Are you thankful for that? Have you ever even one time been unfaithful to God with a thought? With a deed or the lack of a deed? God's word tells us that we are faithful, that He is faithful, pardon me, even if you don't believe that God is faithful. Even if you struggle to believe that God is faithful, He is always faithful. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read a couple of verses before we get to the one that's up there. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with Him, in other words, if we gave our heart and life to Christ, we shall also live with Him. Amen? If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. Listen to this. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. If we are faithless, didn't say if we deny Him, but it says if we are faithless, He still remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word from Isaiah chapter 41? Dear friends, I want to remind you that God is faithful. We sang about it in every song this morning. God is faithful. You can depend on Him even when God cannot depend on you. God is faithful. Hear God's comforting word this morning. Isaiah chapter 41, beginning with verse 9. You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions. Listen, folks, we're about as far away from where the Lord walked in His day as any place on earth. But I'm thankful that He walks everywhere now. Amen? He said, and I said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. Well, that's comforting, amen? for all those who are blasting those who believe in God, who are trying to do right, who are doing the things that God called us to do, and the world is saying that what the right that we do is wrong. He says that those who feel that way and those who are fighting against us, those who are incensed against you, shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them who contend with you. Those who war against you shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, you worm, Jacob. You ever feel like a worm? Come on. You ever feel like a worm? You ever feel like the lowest of the low? You ever feel like you're just rolling around in the mud? You ever feel like your abilities and your thoughts come to nothing? Listen, everyone comes to that place. But God said, I recognize your lowliness. But he said, fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. Listen to what God says. What does he say? I will help you, says the Lord and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And all God's people said, Father, we ask for the blessing of your word to our hearts, that it would not just hit our ears and fall to the ground, but God, that it would hit our ears and go to our hearts and then be reflected in our walk, so that as we walk and as we talk, we can share this message that God is for us, because many need to hear. It is in Christ Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? I am thankful that God's word gives us God's word. Everything in here tells us about the Lord. And I know some people go, well, it's just like Jonah on Wednesday nights that we're teaching right now. Somebody says, man, that's a big fish tale. Listen, let me tell you, if you cannot believe all of God's word, you're in trouble. Because there is a purpose, there is a reason for every bit of it, and God teaches us, even through the book of Jonah, that when we are not faithful, God is still faithful. We need to remember that God is always faithful. Through the Old Testament, God gave his word again and time and again, and he showed us that not only did he make promises, but God always fulfills his promises. Can we take a little trip? Will you go with me? We're not going to go all the way to Israel this morning, but we're going to go all the way back to Israel and then some, and many thousands of years as we take a trip. Because you see, God told Abram, who became Abraham, that he would make him a great nation. And though Abraham's eyes did not see it all, he saw the promise of God. And God said he's going to make him a great nation, and he did. Amen? He told Moses, he said, I'm going to deliver these people out of bondage, out of slavery, out of even their own insensitiveness to me. I am going to deliver them. He said, I'm going to deliver them, and God did. He told Elijah, he said, I'm going to prove to the whole nation, and not just to my people, but to all people. He said, I am going to prove that I am the Almighty God. And he had Jezebel and King Ahab come forward with all of their priests on Mount Carmel. How many of you have ever been to Mount Carmel? How many have been there with me? Several of you. We were there. And they went up on this big hill or mountain, and all of Israel was gathered around, and they called on their false gods to start a fire and consume the offering. And they chanted, and they hollered, and they cut themselves, and they acted the fool in front of all of Israel. And you know what happened with their offering? That's an official word. I know, because we use it all the time. And then God told Elijah, he said, you take the offering, you rebuild the altar for me. And he said, you put the offering up there and you begin to pour water on it until it just sloshes. And he said, you dig a ditch around it. And when the ditches are full of water, he said, come see me. And Elijah called on God. And without all the begging and without all the fuss, he said, show them who God is. And God sent fire down and consumed the offering and the altar and the water out of the ditches so that they would know who Almighty God is. God is faithful. God told through his servant, he told the leprous Naaman, he said, you can be healed of your leprosy. If you'll just go down to the Jordan River and dip yourself 7 times. And Naaman said, I'm not going to the Jordan. That place is muddy and nasty, and surely there are cleaner places that I can go dip in and be healed. And God told him through his servant, through his prophet, he said, you go where I told you and you dip and you'll be healed. And he was going to go back home and not do it. And his servants, praise God, talked him into trying. They said, look, if he'd have given you some big feat, some mighty army that you had to defeat, some incredible and almost impossible task, you'd have done it. But he just said, go and dip in the river 7 times. And Naaman went finally down to the river. He went down to the Jordan and he dipped and he came up and he was still a leper. And he dipped again and he came up and he still was white and pussy and falling apart. And a third time, and a fourth time, and a fifth time, and a sixth time, and he came up a nasty leper until he did what God said to do. And on the seventh time, when he came up out of that water, he came up clean as a newborn babe. Why? Because God told him to, and because God healed him, because God said, if you'll do this, I will. And when you do, God always does. Because God, dear friends, is faithful. In Isaiah chapter 41, God reminds us that he has promised to strengthen and to help and to uphold his children. We read from God's word, and it tells us that we are his servants, his chosen, and that we need fear not because he is going to help us. I don't think that we have to go back and remind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that God is faithful to deliver even through the fire. Amen? I don't think we're going to have to remind them. I think they know. I don't think we're going to have to remind Daniel that when God says he's going to close the mouths of the lions, that he does. I don't think we're going to have to remind Noah that when God says, I'm going to destroy the earth with a flood, that he means it, and you better get that ark built. I don't think we're going to have to remind Noah that there will never be another one, and that the rainbow in the sky belongs to God, and that it's a sign to us that he said he would never flood the whole earth again. I don't think we're going to have to remind Lot that when God said, for the lack of righteous men, I will destroy this city. I don't think we're going to have to remind Lot that God did it and that he meant what he said when he said, I'm going to destroy it if you don't find them. God knew who was and who was not there. You know what my favorite Old Testament promise is? It's probably yours as well. It's found in Isaiah chapter 53. But my favorite promise in all of the Old Testament was when God said he was going to bring a Messiah, and that the coming Messiah was going to come, and that he was going to save us from our sin. He was going to save us from ourselves. And dear friends, God said he was coming. And dear friends, our Lord Jesus came. Amen. Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 3 and following says this: he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have each one turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid the iniquity of us all upon him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Thank our wonderful Lord. Jesus was and is faithful. We could go through the Old Testament. We could spend all day here talking about what God did and how God made promises and how he fulfilled them, not just in the Old Testament, but in the days to come. But the New Testament promises are ours as well. And I'm going to tell you, dear people, don't just skip over the Old Testament. Don't just say, oh, well, we're only supposed to look at the New Testament. I think that you sure miss a lot in understanding if you do that. Remember that God gave us both. And in the New Testament promises, our Lord Jesus Christ, and I know that it's tempting just to go there because just to hear the word of Jesus. But in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus Christ himself told us that he would die for our sins, that he was going to lay down his life, and he did. He told us that after he did that he would arise from the dead, and he did. He said that when he rose from the dead, he would conquer death, and he has. Folks, in John chapter 14, he told his disciples, he said, I'm going. He said, I'm going to go lay down my life. And he said, when I do that, I'm going to ascend and I'm going to go back to the Father. And when I do, I will not leave you alone. And he sent us the Comforter, his Holy Spirit. He told us that he would prepare for us a place in heaven. And dear friends, you can count on it. He has. He told us that he would come back to get us and that he would take us to our real home. And dear friend, don't you even begin to doubt, he will. I love Romans chapter 10, and verse 13 tells us that whoever, if you have the old King James Version, it says whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do I have any testimonies? You've called on the name of the Lord. How about a hand-raised testimony for God? Anybody come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, and you know that he's coming back to get you? Dear friend, he said, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to say that verse with me. Are you ready? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now we're going to say it again together. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I want you to put an emphasis on whoever. Are you ready? One, two, three. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I want you to put an emphasis on the first and the last word. Whoever and saved. Are you ready? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I'm going to ask you to do it one more time, but this time, instead of whoever or whosoever, I want you to put your name in there. Amen? Are you ready? One, two, three. Gary calls upon the name of the Lord and shall be saved. Did you put your name in there? I'm going to tell you, when God gives a promise, you better know he's going to keep it. In every manner, he is going to keep it. Contrary to what the world says, God is not dead. He is alive. He is active. And he's working in the lives of his people that seek him with all their heart. Now listen, if you are not being used by God, it's because you have removed yourself from fellowship from him. And you may feel apart from him. That's what sin does. But when you get your heart right, when you come back to the Lord, when you confess your sin, when you tell the Lord that you want to live for Him again, thank you, Lord God. He never throws you off the team. You might get benched, but He never throws you off the team. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, Lord. And when you get your heart right, He'll put you back to work. He'll restore the joy of your salvation for those who will seek Him with all their heart. God is faithful. And if you can depend on this, dear friend, God is faithful to His Word. God is always faithful to His Word, whether it's good news or bad news. And sometimes the news is pretty tough. God's Word says that He will reject those who reject Him. We read it right there in Isaiah. But it also says it in Matthew chapter 10, verse 33. It also says it in John chapter 12, verse 48. He says, if you do not profess me before men, I will not profess you before my Father who is in heaven. And dear friend, God is faithful to His Word. God will not let His Word fall to the ground. The bad news is this. God is faithful to His Word when it's bad news. The good news is God is faithful to His Word, all of His Word. And when it's good news, we need to hear it. That's why we need to remember that the bad news is every one of us have sinned and have fallen short of God's Word. We have fallen short of God's command. We've fallen short of God's standard. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The good news is Jesus Christ, His Son, paid the sin debt for us. We owed a debt. There's a little ditty, a little song says, I owed a debt I could not pay. Do you remember? He said, but Jesus washed my sins away. I paid a debt. He paid a debt. I tell you, I get a little confused. Jesus paid a debt He did not owe. I owed the debt I could not pay. But Christ Jesus, dying on that cross, defeating sin, rising from the dead, has prepared a place for you. The good news is that Jesus has paid your sin debt, and He has made a way for you to come back to God, to be restored to your Creator, and to see Him in heaven. God is faithful. God has always been faithful, and God will remain faithful forever. He was faithful through the Old Testament days, through all the Ancient of Days. He always did what He said He was going to do. He was faithful through the New Testament time when He said, I will come. When He said that He, by His stripes we would be healed. He said, I will be crucified. And He was faithful to die on that cross as the only innocent lamb of a man that ever lived. And He died for my sin and for yours. But He was also faithful, as He said He would be, to conquer death and return. And He's gone to prepare a place for you and me. God is faithful. He is faithful in our need today. He is faithful from the past, today, and in the future. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6 reminds us of this. Listen, He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? God is faithful. He will be faithful in the coming days. He keeps His Word, and He's going to be faithful to pour out the vials of judgment that He said are going to be poured out on this world. Revelation chapter 16. The sores and the death and the scorching fire and the darkness and the dryness and the hail and so much more. When He pours out the vials of judgment, it is going to be an awful and terrible and unrelenting pain that is poured out on this earth. You don't want to be here. God's word will be carried out. That's why I'm so thankful that before the vials are poured out, before the wrath of God is poured out on this earth and on this world, He is going to be faithful to return and get His and take us home. Depend on it. God said He's going to come. You can count on it. I love all of John. I love all of God's Word. But John chapter 14, as you probably already know, holds a special place for me. Jesus told the disciples, He said, don't be afraid. He said, don't be upset. He said, you believe in God the Father, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Why? Why would Jesus need a mansion? He doesn't need one. He's got one for us. He's got one for you. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Friends, Christ Jesus is coming back. And when He comes back, it won't be in a lowly manger, amen? He's going to split the sky wide open and grab His people. He's going to take us home. The dead's going to rise. Those who are left on the earth are going to rise with them. And God said that they will be taken home. Now, folks, what that means is with God, God the Father, with Christ Jesus. Whew. Man, I'm glad I've got breath. Because you can count on it, dear friends. In all of eternity, God has not changed. He is there for us. He says He loves us with an everlasting love. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17 says, I love those, God said, I love those who love me. And those who seek me diligently will find me. Do you want to find God? So many people say, oh yeah, I want the peace of God. But they don't seek God. They seek the world and they cry out to God. They cry out to God and then they just go live in the world. But He said that if you seek me diligently, you're going to find me. That is a promise from God. Do you want to find God? Then seek Him with all your heart. I love Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus Christ Himself says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Do you remember? I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, there's the key, and opens the door, I will come in to him. I will come in to him. Thank you, God, for being faithful. And all God's people said, amen. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father, we need to give you praise. Can you give him praise right now in your prayer? Can you just tell God, thank you for always being faithful, for always being there. And the reason you don't find him because you don't seek him. Can you tell God thankful? Thank you for always being faithful. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Even in your most difficult of times, God doesn't leave you. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, would you hear this? Let me just share with you from Romans chapter 8. Listen. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, and can I add COVID, and finance, and heartache, and children? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors for him who loved us. Dear friend, do you love Christ? Do you love the Lord? Do you seek Him with all your heart? And if you haven't, will you do it now? Will you turn your heart to Christ? Call on Him for the very first time for the salvation of your soul. Ask Him to forgive. Ask Him to come in. Ask Him to bless. And friend, if you were there before but you've gone away, would you come home? Would you come home?